It doesn't have to be complicated, but it needs to be organized. And I want you to see the support that's available to you. I want you to see where you can catch your breath, where you can recalibrate, because I know how hard this is.
I'm Suzanne O'Brien, former hospice and oncology nurse, and now the founder of the International Doula Givers Institute. My life's purpose is to teach others how to care for those at the end of life. So if you are a family member wanting to learn how to care for someone you love at the end of life, or you are someone who wants to be a professional end-of-life practitioner, this is the place for you. So sit back, get a cup of tea, and relax. This is the Ask a Death Doula podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Ask a Death Doula. My name is Suzanne O'Brien. Yes, the free discovery webinar is coming up very soon. So many questions are coming in. If you are interested in becoming or learning more about the death doula movement, the free discovery webinar is coming up. It is live, and I'll stay on and answer your questions. The link is below. Thank you so much for being here. This is how to create a support system scheduler. And let me start out by saying there are three main questions that doula givers, that death doulas, that family caregivers need to be asking every single day when they are caring for someone at the end of life to provide optimum end of life experience. Number one is asking, are there any acute issues? What's an acute issue? An acute issue is an immediate need. Something, again, this is going to be very fluid. So pain, nausea, exhaustion. These are all things that are going to come and go and get worse or get better, you know, so you want to be asking them every single day to ensure optimum comfort. So symptom management, the first question you're always going to ask is, are there any acute issues? The second question is you're going to ask, are there any safety issues that I'm seeing? Whether you are a family caregiver, a death doula, or anyone in this space, you want to be asking at the end of life, am I seeing any safety issues? Why? Because there are always two major safety issues that will be part of an end of life journey. We don't know when they're going to come about, what we know they're going to be coming about. And one of them is one day that person will not be able to stand and or walk. And the other safety issue is one day that person will not be able to swallow. And both of those are major safety issues and can prevent something really terrible from happening when you know about them, you're looking for them, and you're making sure that that person is not being put in a compromised scenario where they're trying to walk when they can't, when they're trying to eat when they can't anymore. So God forbid they're choking or have aspiration pneumonia. I know end of life is really, really hard. And I know right now it is so scary for so many people, but I want to remind you this, that it is a natural process and it can go really, really well with the right education, kindness, and support. And that's what we're here to do. So the second question is you're going to ask, are there any safety issues? And the third question that you're going to ask is, what is the support system? And that's why we're here today. We're going to talk about setting up a support system scheduler for yourself so that you can have all of these filled out. And if you are a death doula that's here wanting to learn how to do a support system schedule, if you're a family member that wants to learn how to do a support schedule, everyone is welcome here. So the goal is to have everyone have everything they need to achieve the most positive end of life experience possible. And I will say this is that end of life cannot and should not be done by just one person, but I see it all the time. It happens all the time. It breaks my heart to even be saying this, that I've had, you know, 80-year-old women caring for an 83-year-old husband by themselves after 53 years of marriage. It just does, it cannot work, because at the end, when somebody's in a deep sleep coma and needs to be moved, it just should never be. Now, that being said, we have a huge fear of end of life, and many people, and I just want to also remind us all that people are good. They really are good and they want to help. They just usually don't know what to do, how to help. And sometimes you as a caregiver who's feeling overwhelmed don't even know what you need necessarily or what to ask for. So we're going to break down a support system scheduler that you can put into place so you can have the most effective support for this end of life person and their main caregiver, because that's what it's really for. So I wanted to share what the purpose of the support system scheduler is. The purpose of the support system scheduler is to have a way for caregivers to look at the week and each day to have a family or friends or even hired help fill in blocks of support time. Remember that end of life cannot and should not be done by only one person. And it is the most important time that that main caregiver has help now. So usually they've been on a long journey of illness with their loved one, and now is on hospice care. Let's let them be the wife. I have a rule in doula giver, as I say, you know, I want the wife to be the wife, the husband to be the husband, whatever their role is, take all the tasking off of them at this point and give them some help, because this is the last time they have with their loved one. So coming up with a support scheduler is really important, and it's literally a scheduler that I'm going to have you write down. So if you have a pen and paper, this is a wonderful time to be making some notes. You have to remember that end of life is 24/7. That end of life is 24/7. And I've seen so many caregivers go down. And when I mean go down, I mean get sick. I mean go down right alongside of the person that's end of life, because they're not sleeping, they're not eating. In fact, we had one beautiful woman who shared her story. She was so close to her father. She was so close to his father. And he was at the end of life. And she was his caregiver. And she says, literally, when the funeral home was taking his body away when he died, she was in the driveway watching the funeral home pull out with his body in the car. She fainted and collapsed. And the ambulance came to get her. And it turns out she was severely dehydrated. When she thought back on what that last week or two was like, she wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking, she wasn't sleeping. And this happens all the time. I'm going to tell you this from a hospice nurse and an oncology nurse. People are in shock. They're in fight or flight. They don't know what to do. So we want to remember to show up for them, and putting a scheduler together and offering a way for family, friends, hired help to fill in some of those blocks of time means everything. So let's remember that there's different shifts that are in the day. So there's 8 hours that are, you know, the main part of the day. There's 12-hour overnight shifts that I like to identify as 12 hours that somebody, and this is really where, to me, as family members, even if it's inconvenient, even if it is uncomfortable, we need to show up. We need to show up and offer support. And even if it's you saying, Auntie Jill, I can come and sleep over on Tuesday nights, because we want to divide up the care. So we want to make sure that we are spreading around the care, because it's really intense and it can't be done by just one person. It should be, you know, a little over here, a little over here, a little over here, so nobody gets burnt out. But I will say that overnights are critically important to allow that main caregiver to sleep, because that's when they can recharge their batteries. And you know as well as I do what happens when you don't have sleep, everything falls apart. And then they're going to miss this last opportunity, this time with their loved one. So you want to have the different shifts that are in the support scheduler. Think of 8-hour day shifts or 3 8-hour shifts. You can have 3 8-hour shifts. You can have 2 12-hour shifts. And you can have 1 24-hour shift. So you can even have people that come in for a 24-hour period. And I will say that the goal is not to have every single shift full. Like, you don't have to make okay, we need all of these, you know, 24 hours filled in. Even if you can do some of it, even if you can do half of it, you're going to be in a winning situation. So you just want to remember that. And then also I want to remind you of minimal of 2 to 4 hours of respite care. What does that mean? So you might have a main caregiver, and a lot of times main caregivers don't want to go far. They don't want to, you know, be away from what's happening because they're scared and they're nervous. But if you say, you know, Auntie Jill, I can come over, let me sit with Uncle Bob, and you can, you know, go watch a TV show. You can go out to lunch with your friends. You can go sit in the backyard and just be present and quiet and put your face in the sun, just so they can start to recalibrate. Even for those 2-4 hours is huge for people. It's huge for people. So we want to remember all the different layers to how shifts can be staggered. And then what I have here is, and again, I'm using a support system scheduler that we have with our certified doula giver. So if you are a certified doula giver listening to this, this is in your classroom. It's also in your IDMA membership site, your under your assets. So you have these at your fingertips. You can just pull them and print them out. These are tips for people who are not in the program that you can create these yourself. So what I do is I put a list of a piece of paper and have the name of the caregiver, so where people can fill it out, relationship, their email, and their phone number. So people will ask you, how can I help? How can I be of help? And you can say, you can put your name here, and I'll let you know what shifts or what times or what I need. Collect those names. Let people help. People are good. They want to help. They usually just don't know how to do that. And maybe you don't even know what you need at that moment. Then what I want you to do is take a piece of paper and write down 7 days of the week. And again, you can make this super simple for yourself. You can write down 7 days of the week and you can just fill in a couple hours here with somebody, an overnight here that somebody's coming. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it needs to be organized. And I want you to see the support that's available to you. I want you to see where you can catch your breath, where you can recalibrate, because I know how hard this is. You know, end of life is a very difficult thing. And yes, the person at the end of life is going through an end of life process and having their own journey that we are here to support. But the main caregiver, and I feel like this is not recognized, the main caregiver is going through an equally intense journey, different, but an equally intense journey, usually not acknowledged, usually not with a lot of support or support of any kind. And we have to recognize how intense this is for them. So for you as a caregiver to see on this support system scheduler that, okay, Wednesday I have covered, and then maybe you have a couple of days where you don't have any coverage and somebody says, how can I help? And you're like, oh, Friday, can you help me out Friday afternoon and come Friday? Like, it allows you to start getting some footing on the ground and start knowing that you're not in this alone, that you are not in this alone, that we're here together and that we're here to show up and support one another in probably one of the most intense and important times in our entire life. So here's a scheduler. If you want to make it super simple, you can just write down the days of the week and then fill in where people are going to help you. I have it in our scheduler where I have the 7 days of the week and then I have the hours, 24 hours in a day. So it really just has where people can circle and fill in where somebody is going to offer that support. And then what we've done is we've made examples for you so you can again see that you have maybe Suzanne, let's just say myself, I'm showing up for Aunt Jill with Uncle Bob. And I said, you know what? I can come Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoons from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Perfect, right? And then Aunt Jill fills that out. And then I say, hey, to, you know, my cousin, Beth, can you come and do Tuesdays and Thursdays? And she says, sure, let me just rearrange a couple of things. I can absolutely come. Great. And then Danny says, well, I want to help. I don't know what I can do. What can I help? And I say, Danny, can you do overnights? Can you just come and sleep overnight so Aunt Jill can get some rest? That way you can hear if Uncle Bob wakes up that you know, you can help him or you can get Aunt Jill. Yes. And all of a sudden you start seeing this curated support system. Now we're going to go a layer deeper because it's not just the physical person that's there to support you. There's other things that we can do to offer support as well. So there's additional patient support and caregiver support. And here I want to make some suggestions because you're going to have people from the community. You're going to have neighbors. You're going to have people that are good people that want to help, and you want to give them things that they can actually do. The purpose of this additional support is to spread the love and the care This allows others to support this journey in different ways. Again, if large amounts of, or if even time is not an option for them, maybe they're working a lot and they can't do that, but these are ways that they can offer great support to you and your family and that you need. So number one, to bring over meals or set up even a meal chain so they can actually be the person to say, hey, let's put the word out to all our friends and say, again, put a scheduler together 7 days a week. Who wants to sign up to bring dinner to the Morris family on what night? Pick your night. And maybe you can even pick what you're bringing. So maybe again, it's, you know, Tuesday night that Wendy is going to bring lasagna, her famous lasagna. And that, you know, this is love. This is love. And when I told you the story before of the woman who shared that she was not eating, she was not drinking, she was not sleeping, this is very common. People forget to do that. They're not going to cook a meal. They're not going to go to the grocery store. Let's do it for them and show that love. So bringing over meals and setting up a meal schedule. You can even as simple as do a food delivery. So you don't have to, again, make, if you don't have time to make a lasagna, you don't have to do that. You can order from your great favorite restaurant that you like and send it over to them and just pay for it. There's lots of ways we can do this. What about going shopping, running errands for that main caregiver? There's always lots of errands that need to be done. What about errands like helping to organize the house? And I just want to say this, when we feel out of control, when we know that we can't control end of life, and first of all, there's lots of things we can't control, but when that's a situation that's overwhelming that we're in with our loved one, one of the things that tends to make us feel better in general, even for the person that's at end of life, is that when things are tidy, when things are not unkempt and in disarray, maybe that person can't even think about straightening up because they're just surviving moment to moment. Can I come over and do some light housekeeping for you? Can I straighten out the mail for you? Can I take out the trash for you? Can I, you know, do the dishes for you, vacuum? I mean, you know, as well, maybe put some flowers up for them. You know how well that makes us all just feel a little bit more grounded. You can offer to do that. Or you can hire a cleaner. Can I hire somebody to come over? Maybe they're like, I would never ask you. I can't ask you to do that. Okay. So can I send over my beautiful woman that I know who does great housekeeping, or can I find somebody to do that? Yes, you can. What about asking the caregiver if she needs anything specific? What can I do to help you? That's one of the main things we do in doula givers, is ask the person who's at the end of life, what can I do for you? Not assuming I know. I might have some great ideas that I think are great, that I know that can be instrumental. But I want to remind you that this is not my journey. I am here to be of support, not take over, to be of the highest service with no judgment to this person and their family. You ask them, you give them back control and say, Mr. Miller, what can I do for you? And you say, Mrs. Miller, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Maybe she's a woman who every 2 weeks gets her hair done and hasn't been able to do that. Mrs. Miller, may I stay with Bob and you can go get your hair done? Maybe that makes you feel better. Whatever it is, you don't decide, she decides, but you're there to help make that happen for her. All right, so asking what do they need and what can I do for you? What about a massage? Or what about getting her nails done or getting her hair done or something that provides her an opportunity to just, you know, get it again, back a little bit of balance. And usually we let everything go when we're in these scenarios, and just doing that, even if nothing else changed, can make a huge difference in how people feel. And it's really all about how they feel. So put down, you can have a separate sheet that's for extra things, additional support. So not just the time of the support system scheduler, but now additional patient and caregiver support. And you can even use those examples. You can use, again, meals, food delivery, shopping errands, have people sign. Oh, I'll do the errands. I'll set up a cleaner. Whatever that may be, write it down, because now you can see it. And it's like a communal event again. End of life can become a communal supported event. You know, they say it takes a village. I say it takes a world to get on the same page and to show up for one another. And again, death is our greatest equalizer in this humanity that each and every one of us will be touched by. It does not matter who you are, where you live in the world, how much money you have, what you look like. We're all going to experience end of life with those we love and with ourselves. It is a global communal event. Let's start remembering what makes us more similar to one another than makes us different. Let's show up with our hearts and to be of service, because I will tell you this, that end of life is 100% guaranteed. It's going to show up no matter what. You can try and push it away, but it will show up. And I also want to tell you this, that it can go well, really well, with the right kindness, compassion, and support. And we can all do that for one another. So with this support system scheduler, you should be able to have one that sets time. So one that's physical support for scheduling time. And then one is for additional support for not only the patient, but for the caregiver as well. Share this with your neighbors, share this with your friends, let them fill in. And I will tell you something, it is a great gift to other people as well, because we are all sitting there wondering how that family's doing, how can I be of help? We kind of feel helpless a lot of the times. When we actually can turn that into action, it's really therapeutic for us as well. And it really helps with our grief and bereavement. So it's a win-win-win across the board. So I want to thank you for being here. This was how to set up your support system scheduler. If you have any questions on this, please write them below. And again, remember, the free training is coming up. So if you would like to take part in learning how to care for someone at the end of life or learn how to be a professional death doula, sign up. They are live and we answer questions after the actual training. Thank you so much for being part of this global movement. My name's Suzanne O'Brien, and this was Ask a Death Doula, and I'll see you in the next podcast.
Thank you so much for being part of Ask a Death Doula podcast. Please remember that everyone everywhere has the ability to have the good death with the right education, kindness, and support. See you in the next episode.